Regardless of who we are,
my name is Jamie Morris.
Anoop Patel.
Randall Jenkins.
Or where we grew up.
I grew up in Oregon, but I also grew up in Tennessee.
Whether we're healthy or sick.
And Katie was standing in front of the bathroom and she just collapsed.
Rich or poor.
There were four kids in our family and our parents were young, and you know, I think they did the best that they could.
It doesn't matter. If we're lucky, we all can get one perfect day.
And this trip to Disneyland was so impactful on this little girl.
My friend got to go and meet the Los Angeles Clippers.
She was still smiling and having a great time, and they had a really good time with like bubbles and silly string. And
I think that there's a beauty to it, that all she wanted was to just be with her best friend, you know, and spend time with him.
Spend some time in the lobby of a children's hospital, and you'll see kids and families on their worst day.
When they've gone through chemotherapy and or radiation and or surgery, and it comes back despite our best efforts.
And you'll see bravery in its purest form.
And I've never known anybody braver than her in my life.
Or spend some time with the people on the front lines helping sick kids heal.
I think that's probably the hardest part, is watching the parents struggle with how to help their kids.
And you'll see care and kindness, and you'll see the power of hope.
That experience of giving them hope and giving them these opportunities, I think, is instrumental into our ability to help kids get better.
Over the last several weeks, I have had a chance to do these things and hear firsthand how hope can help sick and dying kids and their families heal for a lifetime.
Allow them to see that light at the end of the tunnel. It brings hope and joy in a much needed time.
Or sometimes, just for a little while.
And she's really sick now, and the thought of one day her not being here is, I struggle with that on a daily basis. I worry. I worry every minute of every day. Today's going to be the day that she's not here. Love her with all my heart.
I'm Ian Costello. It's Wednesday, November 27th. In conjunction with Make-A-Wish Oregon, and in this week of Thanksgiving, this is a big story.
There's no question that in the midst of all that kind of interruption to their life, it brings a huge amount of joy.
For a lot of these kids that get Make-A-Wishes, you know, they go on to live full lives. They have that story to tell. It brings them to a place where I think it allows them a little more energy to keep going.
There's a way to keep joy and keep hope as they go through these really difficult things.
Part 3, A Mission of Hope.
A wish goes well if they don't know that the office exists. And I think that's part of the magic of it, is that, you know, the idea that you can just put your wish out there and then these little fairies do their work and make it happen.
So anything we can do to improve their spirits is really helpful. And I think that's where Make-A-Wish comes in and provides sometimes a once-in-a-lifetime experience that they're not going to get otherwise. And that can go a long ways to making life seem a little more special and not feeling so put upon.
It's the most rewarding work that I've ever been a part of, and I'm constantly inspired daily by the courageous kids that we serve.
It gives them space to be a family. You know, in the midst of being part of a family for a child that has, you know, an illness, your life sort of revolves around that. And our goal is always to help Make-A-Wish work with families and kids so they enjoy their experience.
So far in this project, you have heard from families ripped at the seams by sickness, and how Make-A-Wish helped stitch them together again. Then you met the doctors who see the sick every day, and one who has taken giant leaps towards proving the medical value of granted wishes. Now you will hear from the people who make wishes come true, and you will hear firsthand proof that hope is a valuable weapon for the sick and every single person dedicated to the fight against childhood disease.
My name is Caitlin Bolduc. I'm the PR and Communications Manager with Make-A-Wish Oregon.
While her path to Make-A-Wish Oregon may be different, Caitlin Bolduc's desire to make a difference is a common thread among all of the Make-A-Wish employees who I talked to for this story.
I spent 11 years as a journalist, and in coming to Oregon, I was looking for ways to also volunteer in my spare time. And I remember very vividly a story about Bat Kid in San Francisco. And I remember thinking that I want to help with granting wishes. I want to help make a difference in that way. So after that moment, I reached out to Make-A-Wish Oregon and began volunteering as a wish granter. It meant the world to me to help give a voice to the voiceless and make a difference in that way. But there was something so powerful about witnessing a wish come true and being a part of that and granting wishes for kids in our community, that when the opportunity presented itself to take a job with this incredible organization, it was undeniable. I couldn't turn it down. It was what got me out of the news business, and I haven't looked back ever since.
Established in 1980, Make-A-Wish set out on a mission to help terminally ill kids. And it was a mission that quickly changed.
Very early on in that process, the organizers realized that a wish is truly powerful medicine. In many ways, can be a catalyst toward better health. So that was expanded to help kids with critical illnesses, cystic fibrosis, Duchenne muscular dystrophy, brain tumors, blood disorders, you know, you name it. There's a long list of conditions that would qualify for a wish.
How would you describe the mission of Make-A-Wish?
We are on a quest to grant the wish of every eligible child living in our community who is battling a critical illness. And we do everything that we can to make those wishes come true. I've seen firsthand the effect that a wish can have, not just on families and wish granters, but I mean, it can unite communities. There's so many examples of this, but perhaps the one that comes to mind first is the story of a little girl from the community of Almsville who wished to have a pony. When you talk to her family and you learn why this was her wish, you hear that she had spent months in the hospital battling a rare blood disorder in isolation, couldn't go outside, couldn't play outside, couldn't be with her friends. Instead, spent a lot of the time watching the movie Brave. And if you know the movie Brave, you know that the main character has a horse. Mm-hmm. So she became connected to this attachment of a horse. And if she had a horse, she could ride and be free and feel the wind, you know, in her face. And she just is all she wanted. The pony was donated. And then it became, well, every pony needs a fence. So a company out in that area decided to donate materials to build a fence. And then a fence evolved into a corral. And then before we knew it, there were a bunch of high school football players who heard about what was happening. And then they started building the fence with this team. And then she had a custom corral sign. And then somebody heard about it who was a rodeo princess who offered her free riding lessons. And then there was a riding outfit and barrels of hay and unlimited food and just all this stuff from across the community of Almsville. I mean, I could go on and on about just this one wish. And I think it's just an example of just the powerful effect that it can have on people.
A girl and her pony and the community that rallied around her is just one of the stories people like Caitlin and her Make-A-Wish coworkers strive to tell over and over again.
So Make-A-Wish Oregon was established in 1983, and since then we've granted 4,311 local life-changing wishes. This year we're working to grant a record number of wishes, which would be 270.
I organize the wish, but it doesn't happen without a lot of people contributing.
Surrounded by pictures of most of the kids she's helped posted in her cubicle, Make-A-Wish Oregon wish manager Jamie Morris tells me she can't do what she does without community support, like the wish she organized for Dana that you heard about in part one.
Dana's wish was a really fun challenge. It was also very... her wish is such a touching wish. to. When it came through, we initially thought that maybe there was a chance that Dana was going to fly to Florida to see her best friend, Nixon. Her wish was to just be with Nixon. She could have flown, but I think that it just was going to cause so much more stress and anxiety than was necessary. And that's not one of the things that we want for a wish. We want it to be smooth. And the idea is that we take that stress off of the family for however long so that they can just really enjoy the time together. So the first thing we did was determine where the wish was going to happen. And we decided that it would be better for everybody if it was in Oregon. So then it was kind of trying to figure out where in Oregon to have the wish happen. And knowing Dana's abilities and what would be most comfortable for her was also really, really important to me. I wanted her to get the most out of her time with Nixon. You know, there are wish granting volunteers that meet with the families. You know, for Dana's wish, finding medical equipment rentals and working with the people there and having them be so excited to do whatever they can to make Dana comfortable during her wish, to the photographer who donated all of her time and energy to making these special memories for Dana. We have a really awesome partnership with the Oregon Zoo, and they do animal experiences for our wish kids. So that was her first wish day, was getting to go to the zoo and kind of get that VIP treatment. I think the bunnies were actually the highlight for Dana, which was surprising, but also great. I was happy that that made her happy. And then the families drove down to Sun River, and what we did was we had some volunteers fill the house with things for Dana and Nixon to do. So we got them like bubbles, and we got them finger paints, and we got them, I think they had like Nerf guns and like water guns so they could have like water gun fights outside. We found this really amazing photographer who donated all of her time and service. I really wanted them to have something positive to actually look at and see what their time together was like, and hopefully bring back those happy memories of being together.
You've done how many wishes? Do you have any idea?
Yes. I just granted my 100th wish in August. So I think I'm at like 111 or 112 right now.
So you're behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, or most of the time, you're never going to meet these kids, so they're never going to see you.
And that's kind of the way that we want it. I think for us, a wish goes well if they don't know that the office exists. And I think that's part of the magic of it, is that, you know, the idea that you can just put your wish out there and then these little fairies do their work and make it happen.
Do you think that having a wish granted through Make-A-Wish has had a lasting impact on Dana?
Very much so. I think seeing her friend, and the promise that I had for her was that, you know, Nixon and you will still be seeing each other. I think, you know, she's had so much taken from her that to know that, yes, my mom said I would see my friend, and I saw my friend, that she knows that she can trust the people that she's around, that what we say will do.
Dana's is just one of the more than 300,000 wishes Make-A-Wish has granted since its inception. According to all of the healthcare providers that participated in this project, stories of the good it did Dana are proving to be the rule rather than the exception.
So having something like Make-A-Wish to give people some hope and aspiration, something to look forward to, it's enormous.
As a pediatric nephrologist at Oregon Health and Sciences University, Dr. Randall Jenkins understands the medicinal value of granted wishes.
Have you seen it happen in your patients?
Sure. I've seen, you know, quite a few individual cases, and we see them enough to know how it impacts their well-being.
Kathy Perko is a nurse at OHSU. She treated both Dana and Jamie's sister, Katie. I asked her how a granted wish can impact a child's treatment.
What these wishes do for kids is they do a lot of things. They remind them they're important. They remind them that there's a lot of people that care about them. They remind them that they can still be kids, that they can still have fun. And for a little bit of time, they just get to be Katie. They just get to be Dana. They don't have to be the child with a complex illness or a child who has a brain tumor or a child with cystic fibrosis. They just get to be who they are with the people that they care about the most. You know, I can't tell you that anybody's blood pressure has gone up or down, and Make-A-Wish doesn't cure cancer. What it does is bring these kids, I think, some real joy and some real ability to just sort of see the world a little bit differently for a period of time.
Dr. Lissa Baird has recommended several kids to Make-A-Wish. She says the effects of a wish can last long after it has been granted.
I think that sometimes the kids come back with just a better outlook and attitude on having to deal with their treatment. So that makes it easier for them to go through it. There can be an attitude change, but just kind of that influx of positivity makes it easier for them to participate in their treatments and to be more present.
Dr. Jenkins goes on to point out that there is growing evidence that getting involved with Make-A-Wish can change attitudes beyond the wish kid.
You know, it's a family affair. It's not a one kid thing. It impacts everybody in a large way.
It's obvious that there is some positive effect of programs like Make-A-Wish. Do you see a similar positive effect around and in the families of people who have been granted wishes?
Sure. I mean, usually the family members go also on these wishes. It's not just the child or the parents and the child. It's the siblings, too. And they get to participate in these Make-A-Wish most of the time. So there is a benefit to them, too. So it's the whole family that's affected by chronic disease.
Dr. Namita Richard fights childhood cancer at Randall Children's Hospital. She sees what Make-A-Wish can do for families, too.
And I think for the parents especially, the outlook changes in terms of having hope, realizing that life will become normal again, and that it's okay for them to have fun and laugh and be joyful. Parents are so grateful. One of my patients was granted a wonderful wish to go to Disney, and the parents brought in this lovely memory book of all these pictures that Make-A-Wish Oregon had put together and gifted the family after their trip. And they had tears in their eyes when they were showing me these pictures, and just the gesture of making that book and having that as a permanent memory for the family. They just were so grateful and thankful to have that.
In part one of this project, you met Janie Campbell and Alicia Smith. Make-A-Wish Oregon granted Janie's daughter, Dana, a wish to be reunited with her best friend, Alicia's son, Nixon. Both Janie and Alicia say granted wishes can change an entire family's outlook.
The Make-A-Wish Foundation is such a blessing that they ask for nothing back. They make these wishes happen with not expecting anything. They just want for your child to be happy and to make a difference in their life and the whole family's life.
What did the wish being granted do to the rest of your family, particularly Haley?
Haley. Haley, like I said, she was our only child for 12 years, and it was difficult for her to have a sister and to share mom and dad. She was just starting to get used to having Dana around, and then Dana got really sick in December, and that, you know, has been very, very hard on her. They invited her in on, you know, all of the things as well, which made a huge difference. I would say the Make-A-Wish Foundation makes such a huge, huge impact on the whole family. You know, watching Dana having that peace for that week of being with her friend, and the motivation that they had for each other is something that even in the worst of days I think about. And I know that for that week, like I said before, I could breathe easy and I didn't have to worry so much.
How many of your other children came along for the trip?
One of them did.
And what was that experience like for them?
She, I think it really opened her eyes to just reality of life and a lot of things about life, you know, that, I mean, we already, you know, kind of try to instill in our kids that material possessions are no big deal, like things like that, you know, like the reality of life. But to actually experience something like that, like seeing her brother have this bond with somebody that he's known since they were babies, and to actually just see that the love that people like have for each other, it was just really good for her because she was 14 at the time. And she also got to meet Dana's sister, and they had a great time together as well. So just to meet another sibling, you know, that is also in a similar situation to her.
When a child is diagnosed with a life-altering or life-threatening disease, the professionals dedicated to helping them get healthy become part of an extended family.
You know, we have nursing care that 4 days a week. The hospice workers are always in and out of the house. She has a nurse and a bath aide and massage person, a music person, a social worker, and that's all from hospice.
Like any mom or brother, or sister or father, the doctors and nurses and life specialists hurt when the sick child cries and smile when they laugh. Sharing every step in the journey with their patient, Make-A-Wish makes their journey better too.
The wish is that one bit of good news that they get to deliver to a kid, and then it becomes something new and exciting that they can talk about.
Well, I'm not usually with them when their wish is granted. Just kind of seeing their faces light up when they are planning it or looking forward to it or talking about it afterwards.
It's something that brings so much hope and joy, and again, just that light at the end of the tunnel. The relationships that we get to build with our families is really intense, as you can imagine, but also really rewarding. And that for the most time, we're making them feel better and getting them back on the track to a healthy life.
Oh, we're happy. We love a Make-A-Wish. The kids are thrilled to show pictures and to share with their team what Make-A-Wish did for them. And that makes us feel good, too, because, you know, our jobs are challenging, too. And it's nice to be able to see the joy that Make-A-Wish brings to the families that we care for.
Perhaps the best answer to the question came from Dr. Anup Patel. His groundbreaking study on the power of Make-A-Wish was referenced heavily in part two of this project.
As a medical treatment team, you become part of those families. Do you feel that Make-A-Wish has a positive influence and impact on the treatment teams themselves?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. I think that's an area that I would like to further study, because I feel personally, based on my experience, that's absolutely true. You know, when I'm able to share, hey, let's talk about the Make-A-Wish organization in my clinic, again, knowing I have a very, you know, limited opportunity to help their seizures, but to be able to give them something like that, and I know I'm not giving them anything, obviously, it's the organization that does all the work, but I'm actually the one that connects them in many of the cases, and that makes me feel good. You know, I take every kid personally when their successes aren't achieved. That it's my lack of success. You know, it hurts me too. And so I think in that sense, it helps me get a break. But I would love to do that study where we looked at providers who would be able to refer, like, do they have, you know, less burnout, more resilience, better relationships with their families? Because I'll bet you the answer is yes. Because I know in my case, it absolutely is.
Dealing with disease and all the hospital visits and the pills and the constant wonder about tomorrow that come with a diagnosis is painful.
You know, it's hard. I worry. I worry every minute of every day. If today's going to be the day that she's not here.
Pain that can be lessened by the power of hope and the people at Make-A-Wish.
We are just determined to do as much good as we can in our community. And our mission is very simple and focused on bringing local families that joy and hope when they need it most. You can see it in their faces, this idea of thinking outside of their current moment in time. And there's this unsaid power the experience can give kids, and there's family, and there's this measurable change in their outlook on life. And so when you're a part of that and you get to see that joy and witness it firsthand, it's just, it's so powerful. There's this effect that happens where you're like, you know, how can I continue to do this? How can I continue to make a difference? How many other kids can we help feel this way? Because when there's so much else happening in the world all around you that you can't do for change, you can't make a difference. This is one very simple and easy thing that you can do. You can help kids smile again.
Jamie Morris's sister Katie died only 6 days after her 13th birthday. Almost 13 years later, Jamie still bears the emotional scars of seeing her sister suffer and the pain she and her entire family went through. Like the tens of thousands of other employees, volunteers, and donors to Make-A-Wish, Jamie has made hope her mission.
I think the best part of working for Make-A-Wish is getting to contribute to some joy for people that are going through something really difficult. And then, you know, back to what I was saying earlier with the takeaway from my sister's wish is getting to be that reminder for these children and these families that there is good out there, even in the darkest of times, that people can do good things. I think, you know, another favorite part, there's so many things that I love about working for Make-A-Wish, but another thing that I really love is getting to see people come together to make a wish happen. It means a lot to me to be able to be a part of it every day, and I feel so lucky that I get to do this every day. I don't take it for granted at all.
The Make-A-Wish Foundation of Oregon is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that relies solely on the generosity of the community to grant local wishes. The organization's greatest need is the support of its general fund. Currently, there are 217 local children living in Oregon and Southwest Washington who are waiting to experience the healing power of a wish come true. And you can be part of making that happen. Visit oregon.wish.org/give to donate today, and visit coin.com for more information. The Power of Hope was made possible in conjunction with Make-A-Wish Oregon. Special thanks go out to Caitlin Bolduc, Jamie Morris, Janie Campbell, Alicia Smith, Dr. Anoop Patel, Susan Sherwood, Dr. Michael Powers, Dr. Lissa Baird, Dr. Randall Jenkins, Kathy Perko, Dr. Namita Richard, Tracy Brawley, Caitlin Flanagan, Melanie Costello, and the tens of thousands of Make-A-Wish employees, volunteers, and donors.
This digital presentation is copyrighted by Nexstar Media Group 2019. Any other use of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.